We're going to transition into a time of testimonies. Maybe you saw the email that went out this week from Chris to say, you know, they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And if it's any consolation, the word witness or testify is the same word as martyrdom. So it's martyrs. So they literally gave witness to the point of death. It's not going to be quite that extreme here today. I'm hoping it won't. But if nobody is going to volunteer, I might just martyr some people by volunteering them. So, you know, come one, come all. You know, we read in the verse earlier that we give thanks to God. We glorify Him. This is what this time is about. It doesn't have to be happy. It doesn't have to be like victory every day. But it just means, hey, God was there. This is what has been happening in my life, and God is working. So if nobody's coming up, it's going to be very quiet. Just saying. I'm not going to fill up the time with jokes. So.
Okay. I'm Trish, for those people who don't know me. For those of you who do know me, you know that I've been preparing for a while now to go to Korea. In the midst of that preparation is taking a teaching certificate course so I can teach English in Korea. And for me, right recently, that's been a bit of a struggle, just trying to get through the material and then dealing with all these feelings of inadequacy and how am I going to teach? And I don't really know that I'm qualified for this, and I feel like I know less every class I take. And having God show up in the midst of all of that and say, you know what, I've got this. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say, how you're going to teach, what lessons you need to prepare. I will be there. I will have you, and I will carry you. Also, on a more slightly happier, exciting note, I finally got a Korean tutor, so because I've been learning Korean. And God bless me with a wonderful Korean tutor who is really amazing at teaching, and so that's going really well.
Father, we thank you for Trish, God, and her heart, for your work and your kingdom to come on earth. Lord, we pray that you will continue to give her strength as she finishes her studies. God, help her to do that well. God, give her strength and wisdom, God, to invest in this season of preparation, both in her education, in learning the Korean language, and also spiritually, mentally, and physically to be fit, Lord, for your service wherever you call her next. So we pray, oh God, that you will give her ears to hear and tongues to speak Korean. Mm-hmm. And may you give her this gift in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, church. My name is Paul. I am in a program currently called a CPE, which stands for Clinical Pastoral Education. And part of my role is to meet with patients at St. Paul's Hospital for 8 hours a week. And I visit patients in the hospital and care for them spiritually. And I'm on the whole care team, and I attend rounds, and I make documentation. And it's an amazing, amazing experience. It's been so fascinating and totally outside my experience before. So I've really enjoyed it. There was one day where I went to the hospital. This was for my very first shift on October 11th. And the next day, I had an assignment that was due in class where I had to transcribe an entire conversation that I had with a patient called a verbatim and then present that in class. So it was my first day. I had this huge assignment to do the next day. There was so much pressure that was on this moment. And I thought, I got to meet with a patient. My supervisor didn't even think I needed to because it was my first time. She just wanted me to get familiar with the hospital, but I wanted to. And so my very first meeting, I remember walking into the patient's room, and I can't tell you his real name, but I'll call him Wayne. And I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I just thought I'd say yes. And I walked in, and Wayne is like a 66-year-old man who has spent most of his life on the downtown East Side. He was kicked out of his house when he was 12, and he lived homeless since then. And his body is very broken, where he has been addicted to heroin and other drugs for most of his life. And when I was watching him in the hospital bed, he was so skinny. Like, he was like a skeleton. It was incredible. And his one hand, like this, it was like a claw. It was really thin, bone-like, and just immobilized. And it was kind of like he couldn't move it. And then his other arm, he didn't have fingers. He only had two little stumps and a thumb. And that was because his fingers fell off because of gangrene. And he used his thumb to, like, do everything, you know? And he was pretty good at it. And I remember talking to him and hearing his story and learning about what he's been through. And he said some pretty incredible things, because he was so broken. But he says, "I know God. I know God loves me." And he also said, "A lot of people have hurt me. I forgive them. I hurt a lot of people. I hope they forgive me." And he said, I hope God forgives me, and all these things. And it was just like an emotional, really intense experience for me. And about halfway through, he looked at me and he said, "You look kind of scared." And that moment, I was like, okay, simmer down. You know, but I got to meet with him and speak to him as a human being and see him for where he is and hear his story of suffering. And in him, I saw the image of God revealed and glorified through his body. And it's such an incredible testimony to God's love for us, even through suffering. This season has been difficult for me. There's been things that I won't tell you all about, but there's been multiple things that have caused this season to be one of lament and suffering for me. And I'm so thankful to God that he is using this time to reveal himself to me so that I can know the joy of his suffering and I can know the glory of the cross, the glory of the gospel that comes out of the cross, and be made like him. I'm thankful for what God is doing in me this season. And I hope that you can be encouraged that when you go through difficulties and pains, you can remember to look at Jesus and know that he is making you like him. And so he is redeeming and resurrecting your broken body so that you could be mature and full and complete, lacking nothing. Thank you for listening.
I'm really privileged to be able to do this part of the Testimony Sunday. Father, I just want to thank you for Paul. We thank you that God, in his suffering and in his pain, that he was able to offer love and listening to someone who is in pain. We thank you that, God, you would continue to pour out your spirit on Paul, God, and anoint him. And God, may he receive your comfort in the areas that he is struggling with and lamenting. May he know this comfort and be able to offer the comfort to others. Lord, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for this work that you have given him for this season. God, continue to enlarge his heart and help him to stop and see those around him through your eyes, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. there anyone else who would like to share? Mr. Zoli Miklos.
This week, let me backtrack. Hi, my name is Zoli. I've been attending here for a while. I had a colleague at work that left. He thought he was going to go to another airline, and then things didn't work out, and then he came back. And I remember before he was leaving, I says, man, I got to talk to him about the gospel. Because I've been working with him for 15, 16 years, and he knows me. He knows that I'm a man of faith. But I haven't really had a chance to really sit down and talk to him about the gospel, and then he left. And then I missed my opportunity. Well, things didn't work out for him there, and he came back, right? And so I really felt that God was telling me, okay, let's just say the things that you wanted to say when he was leaving, right? So I prayed for an opportunity, and sure enough, we were in the lunchroom in Victoria, and it was just the two of us. And we had a lot of, there was a few things that I knew that I knew he had gone to Malibu, the Christian camp up at Princess Louisa Inlet, so I asked him about that. And there was a time when I was reading a book called, the title of the book is 23 Minutes in Hell. And it was, if you've read the book or are not familiar with the book, it's about this guy's spiritual experience. He had a spiritual experience of being in hell, and he wrote about it. It's not something I would base my church on or anything, but at the same time, it was a very enlightening book as far as the reality of hell. And he, for whatever reason, he saw me reading it and he wanted to read it. And this was like 5-6 years ago. So so we had this conversation. So I just talked to him about that. And then I just basically just said, I laid it out to him. I says, Dan, I've been meaning to tell you about this for a while, and I just quickly told him my testimony, and I quickly told him about the reality that we cannot earn our way to heaven, and the way that we can get right with God is to trust in the work of Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, and the significance of that, and how trusting in his work of paying for the sin, all our sins, that we can enter into heaven or have a right relation and have a right relationship with God. And and then finally I said to him, I says, look, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And I said to him, I've known you for 15, 16 years, and that's why I'm telling you this. And then I left it at that, right? And I've got one other colleague I just found out he'll be leaving because of a medical issue, so I'll probably be seeing him actually tonight. We've got a pilot's dinner tonight, so I'll just ask for your prayers and talking to him. And there's a few guys, that I know that God's leading me to share the gospel. Because, we're just here to plant seed, and you just let, neither he who sows nor he who reaps is anything. It's God who makes things grow. So we just need to remember that, and I would encourage you that if the Lord Jesus is impressing upon you to talk to somebody about the gospel, do it. And I'd like to say it was all victory this week. There's this one guy that I've been flying around. He's a customer of ours. I've known him for 30 plus years, and our flight got delayed for a couple hours because of weather on Wednesday. And he bought me lunch, right? And he bought me lunch, and I was gonna. As the soup came in, I was going to, can I say grace? But I just wimped out, and I just kind of said it to myself. And I realized I should have said it more loud, and the conversation probably would have gone a different way than it did. But either way, I'm hoping for another opportunity to talk to him as well. So, just look for those opportunities, because we want to grow the kingdom. We don't want to just move people around from church to church. Okay? All right. Thank you for listening.
Hey, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
So Lord, we want to thank you that you have put Zoli in the workplace, God, faithfully for all these years. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to him, speak through him, both in his life, in his action, and in his words. God, we ask, Lord, that you would use him as your light in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaac, come and introduce yourself to the church.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. My name is Isaac, and I am just less than 2 weeks in Canada. I came from Ghana, and I came on a job offer with a mining consulting group. And the process that brought me here, to me, was something that I know God was involved. And I believe if I let his people know, and by the words of our testimonies, we overcame the enemy, I know that people will be encouraged. So I got this job last year in September, and when I had signed the offer letter, it was left with the immigration processes to get here. And that took almost like a year for it to happen. And what happened was I had to get my provincial nomination, which I did, and it took 3 months. And then in February, I had to apply for my work permit. And during the submission of my work permit, I took the chance to submit my permanent residence as well. And per the timing for the permanent residence, it was supposed to have taken 21 months. But when I was submitting, I told God, if indeed you are the one telling me to come and work in Canada, then I want to enter Canada with my permanent residence. And then I am a mining engineer in Ghana. I've been working for 17 years. I'm well established in Ghana. In fact, I have some businesses I'm running as well as part of my career. And I was like, leaving everything behind and coming to Canada, why is God asking me to do that? So I told him, if indeed you want me to come and do something in Canada that is to glorify your name, then let me enter Canada with a permanent residence, because I know there are some shortfalls with a work permit visa where you can't have access to so many facilities in the country. So by July, I got my work permit visa that I was supposed to come. So I called my company. I was like, I've not had my work permit visa. When should I start work? And they were like, because the process delayed, they had to pick some new guys to do the work that I was coming to do. So they said, I need to wait for them to come back to me. Then they later came back and told me, now they've decided that I should start work in November. So it means with my work permit, I need to wait and come around November. Then for some reason, which I know God was involved, in October, my permanent residence came. Wow. So just like I had asked God about it, that I want to enter Canada with a PR, I came here with a PR. And I came very new in the system. God introduced me to Maureen, which I have known about 17, 18 years ago, which I didn't really have a contact with when she was in Canada. So Maureen, when I came, had supported me, taking me around, ensuring I'm getting all the very documents that I need to be comfortable in Canada. And it's been seamless, it's been so easy, and I want to say thank you to God for whatever he has done. And by his grace, my family joins before Christmas. And so this is what the Lord has done, and it's so marvelous in our sight, and I want to share with his people. Amen.
Can I pray for you? as you can tell, there are lots of people here who identify with your struggles because you are all very familiar with the IRCC of Canada. So, blessings to you. This is a miracle. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Isaac and bringing him here to Canada. God, this is the work of your hands, Lord, that no man can stop, Lord, but only you can pull it off, Lord, for him. So we thank you for his family who's joining us. We ask, oh God, that you would establish this household and give them a place, Lord, a community that they can be part of. Lord, they have left much in their home country to be here. We pray that, God, you would use them like Abraham, Lord, and give them a place, a home, a people, God, and make them a blessing to the nations, God, as they come. We pray for safe travels for his family, God, as they join him next month. We also thank you for Sylvia. Lord, we thank you for miracles like of the papers and the publication of her thesis and also the approval of the supervisor. We know many who have been defeated in this process because of the lack of supervision. We thank you that, God, you have granted her favor as she sought you through prayer and fasting. May you help her to finish this well. And we give you glory and thanks in Jesus' name. Okay. We have a couple more. I'll let Jessica go.
Hi, for those who don't know me, my name's Jessica. A little bit of a backstory before I talk about what I want to talk about. So I grew up in a Christian family. My dad was a children's pastor for over 10 years, as well as a youth pastor. So I am extremely familiar with the ins and outs of church. I was there multiple times a week. I would help out with Sunday school and nursery and summer camp and spring camps. And I don't know if you guys know a program called Awana, but I was helping with that as well. And Christmas pageants and just like so many things. So growing up in that environment, I would like to say that I felt at home at these churches. And the thing is that, with some of them I had to move around different cities, even different provinces, BC, Alberta, and back and forth. The thing that made me stay with the church, I would say, is the people. It's the people that would come up to me and say how, like just ask how I'm doing. And just say, I'm praying for you. And that, I think, is just so important because the church is not just the building. It's the people. Without the people, there's no church. Because there was a point in my life when I was attending a youth group in a different church, and I felt like an outsider because so many of them, they had the kids of the group, they have their own little groups and then they wouldn't talk to anybody else. And I'm saying that because like it was insane for me to feel like an outsider because I had grown up in the church and I knew the verses. I memorized the books of the Bible and I read like so much and I knew so much and for me to feel like an outsider, and it was just horrible. So I guess what I'm saying is that I would encourage everyone just to maybe talk to people you may have not talked to. You know, you see the faces, you see they're familiar, but have you actually said hi? Join a life group, go to the events. You know, the church, the people are so important. And I would just encourage you just to really get to know each other. You know, and I know a lot of you do, and that's so great. And I know I'm pretty new to this church, but it's just the community is so great. That's what makes me keep coming to this church, because so many of you are just absolutely amazing. And I hope to meet more of you. But that's just what I wanted to say.
I'll pray for you later. Is it okay?
All good.
Yeah, thank you for being vulnerable. Simon will be the last.
Hello, good morning. I wanted to give you an update on what God's doing in me in my life with my dad. I think I've shared many times before. So the more I actually remember my memories of my childhood, the more I'm realizing just how painful it was and the wounds I got. It's not a stretch to say I've lived a lot of my years wishing he was dead, because the way that I felt hurt by him continually just, it was awful. And so I think, and so as I've shared before, I'm willing to obey God in his commandment to say forgive. But in my heart, I know that I don't know how to do that. But there has been some movement, so let me tell you what that is. So being a father to Reuben has been a real blessing, because and something I reflect on is when I put him to bed, when I hold him, I feel that, wow, I really love this being. And God has been telling me things like, you know, that's how I feel about you. And that has been really beneficial, because I can feel in my heart at different times, is this how God feels about me? He really likes being my dad. He really enjoys me. And so that has been really amazing. So I've been meditating on that for a bit, what it means to be a child of God. If that's my first and foremost identity, what does that mean? And so I've been reflecting on it. Every morning I say, good morning, Dad. Good morning, Dad. Good morning, Dad. Just trying to figure out what that means. 2 weeks ago, my mom visited, and every time she visits, she tries to, you know, encourage me to see my dad. And I say, you know, I'm not really ready. I don't really want to. The same day, I was reading the Bible, and it's actually where we're reading Matthew 5, the part of the, what do you call it? Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. So at Matthew 5:45, it's a part where Jesus says, you have heard it said, love your friends, hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you. You know, I've known that part, but then it says, then you will be children of God. And I thought, oh, I thought I was child of God. And here it's telling me to do that. And so the way I understood it is, if I claim to be a follower of Christ, then I have to know who God is. And in the Bible, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And so if I'm going to claim to be God's child, I have to be like him. That's what it means to be God's child, is to be like him, because when you're a kid, you want to be like your parents. And if I claim to really love God and to know him, that means I will be like him. And so here was a picture of what being a child of God is like. And so, yeah, that was really helpful, because now I had an option, which is my old identity. And Mary Jane was praying for me, the verse about the old is gone, the new is here. And so my old identity, which I still have, if I'm being honest, my identity is shaped by my relationship with my earthly dad, which is I feel hurt, and I don't know how to let it go, because it's I am powerless against the hurts that I've received, and I don't have what it takes to overcome that, because if I try, I'll get really angry and try to, there's that anger there. But the new identity in Christ is to be loving. And yeah, so I felt in my heart that I'm slowly shifting over. You know, it's not about my dad anymore. It's not whether he apologizes, acknowledges it, anything like that. It's about me and me being a child of God and listening to who God says I am. And if I can continue doing that, to shift my identity of being not a son of my earthly dad, but more of my son of a heavenly father, I think there's something there. And so, I wanted to share that reflection with you.
Thank you. I just want to pray for both Jessica and Simon. They have really been vulnerable with us and trusted us with their stories, and we want to hold them and bless them. Father, we thank you. We thank you that, God, you know us in the areas of our wounds, and that you come to us with compassion, with your healing, with your comfort. That, God, you hear their stories, Lord, and you were there when they were wounded, when they were rejected by their own, when they were supposed to be loved and protected by a father who did not, who failed in those areas. So we ask, Lord, that you would come and protect them over these wounds from the past. We ask that you would draw them, Lord, into those places and show them where you had healing them, that you were there and you saw it, and you are going to heal them from their past, that this would not be the future, that they would have a new beginning in you, Lord, whether it's in community, oh God, or with Simon and Reuben's relationship. God, I pray for new beginnings. I pray for forgiveness to flow in due time. God, we cannot manufacture it. It's not to be demanded at will, but it is your gift. So we pray and commit them into your loving hands. You, the loving Father, you who watch over us. In Jesus' name.
Sorry, can I add something? Is there like a couple? I always forget. Every time I sit down, I say, oh, I forgot to say. So I know that with my own power, I don't want to forgive my dad. That's just a fact. But then there's a lot of peace that I've gotten recently in that I'm asking God, oh, God, if you actually want me to forgive my dad, you're going to have to give me your Holy Spirit. Yes. You know, because I'm not going to with my own power, with my own will. And so I've been able to give it over to God and saying, you want me to do it? You're going to have to give me the Spirit that you gave to Jesus in order for me to do that. So, it's with his power that I'll be able to. So, yeah.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you. That's a really good reminder for all of us. You know, God is shaping and forming us